Not to be confused with an actual Yeti. They're pretty bad for sound recording.
Yeah. They just kind of sit in the back and grumble at you. Then Nazis show up, and you're like, why?
Disappear all the time, just leave footprints everywhere.
Yep. And they steal your beef jerky.
Once in a while, they have a wristwatch.
Welcome to I Thought They Smelled Bad on the Outside, a show that needs you to understand something about the blues. And the thing about the blues is that you gotta be sad. You gotta dig down and find your sadness. You gotta live in Canada, where it's still snowing in May. It did not snow today, but it was close.
I would like to point out, it was beautiful. 73 degrees outside, wonderful weather. I'm walking around in, short sleeves, wonderful weather, good times.
See, that right there is kind of sad, because Jeff is sitting here and he's gloating. He is taking advantage of our pain and suffering.
Hey,
and
I have been the drummer of this band. I have been lost 6 times. I can gloat all I want.
Hey, you want to talk being miserable? Okay, I'm stuck smack dab between you two. So I'm in that middle ground of, it gets freaking cold in the morning and incredibly soaking wet, and then high humidity and heat in the day.
Oh, it's beautiful right now.
That's sad.
In about 1 month, I'm going to be boiling alive in my own juices, but right now it's beautiful.
And that's karma. I'm Jim.
I'm Scott.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Dan.
Scott.
Dead Sevens.
And I am Scott.
I almost wanted to say, and this is episode 0. I'm really glad I was drinking water.
Yeah.
The one episode where Scott has been tied up in a closet and we can't find him.
Yeah, I have now appropriated the show for myself.
The editing will be done by... Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Scott had an accident. He fell down a flight of stairs into an open elevator shaft and fell onto about 27 gunshots.
No, he fell down a flight of stairs into a doorknob. That's all it is. That's all it ever is.
Damn that doorknob.
Yep. Scott, okay. What's your pick of the week since you're being so damn quiet?
Okay, so I actually have a bone to pick this week.
Dun-dun-dun.
Bum-bum-bum-bum.
So right now, let's just establish right now that we live in a world where entertainment is available anytime you want it, and that everyone is free to comment on their entertainment immediately to a large number of people. This is our world. We have a world where entertainment happens when we want it, and communication to many people is instantaneous and encouraged.
Well, not really encouraged, but it is instantaneous. Yeah.
Well, so your point is we're spoiled brats?
No. The point is, Game of Thrones is back on television. And part of Game of Thrones being back on television is that the people who watch it for reals watch it on Sunday nights, and they say things about it on the internet. And then everyone who is stealing it, or maybe has a legitimate DVR set up, but probably just stealing it, complains about everyone else spoiling it. This is self-entitled first world bullshit.
Like I said, we're spoiled.
Yeah.
You have the option feeds.
Yeah, if you really don't want to see anything about Game of Thrones, as soon as you see the word, just scroll past. Don't want to see it.
Honestly, in this world of social media, though, everybody's going to be talking about it. I mean, hell, we fucking crashed the internet when the Star Wars cast got announced.
Well, yes, but that's the thing.
That's nerd power right there.
That is nerd power, but you have the option to disconnect from Twitter for a day before you can watch it, or you can just deal with being spoiled, which chemically improves the experience of watching it. It's why you watch movies twice.
Yeah.
Well, that, and maybe they spoil, you know, a piece of information. Usually it's not critical.
See, you want a little fun personal bit of information? I've never had a Game of Thrones episode spoiled.
Well, and it just...
Never. See, just doesn't happen to me.
I will say there's some point to this just because some people will spoil it just to be jerks. I remember a story that Chris told once where he was watching Full Metal Alchemist and someone had spoiled that the Fuhrer was a...
Homunculus.
You know, in the middle of the watching, and that would suck if you know, a critical plot point by like that got stolen. But Game of Thrones, it's airing right now, and people will talk about it. And if you don't want to hear what happened, just ignore it. Stay off the internet.
And adding to this debate is, of course, the fact that the books have been out for 10 goddamn years, and I know what happened in those books because I read them 8 goddamn years ago.
Are you saying there's a statute of limitations on this information, Scott?
I'm saying that this is a work in adaptation. I haven't seen the new Spider-Man movie yet, but guess what? Gwen Stacy's gonna die.
Yeah.
What?
Spoiler.
I am shocked.
Spoiler!
My mind blown. That has never happened. I don't know where you guys are getting that.
Yeah.
Spoiler!
That's delirious. That's mad.
Thanks for ruining the movie.
Next you're going to tell me that Harry Osborn is the Green Goblin or something.
Oh, God, yeah.
What?
And they say that they're going to do a Venom movie. Who's Venom? What's this Venom thing?
He's Flash Thompson.
What?
Fucking not, Marvel.
Not Venom in another third Spider-Man movie.
Oh, no,
hey,
they've got a whole...
If you've seen Truth in Journalism, you know Venom can be done properly.
Twice. I'm counting twice.
Yeah.
Counting two times it's been done right. But yes, you need to stop whining about being spoiled for things and just deal with it.
Yeah.
And also, BuzzFeed, I'm sorry that I read these books 10 years ago. I guess that makes me pretentious. Fuck off.
Is that how that works?
Yeah.
Oh,
but
by the way,
I thought that just made you literate.
Yeah.
Whoa, and
Scott can read? Who knew?
Sam, I'm pretty sure.
By the way, internet, we'll get this over with real fast. Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's father. The Titanic sinks. Snape killed Dumbledore. Guys, help me out here. I know there's a bunch of...
Rosebud is a sled.
299 of them die. It was
Bruce
Earth the
Boy
whole time.
Is dead.
Marty McFly does, in fact, go back to the future.
Verbal is Kaiser Soze. It was Earth the whole time.
Oh,
Soylent Green is made out of people.
That one, that's not cool. That's like the one spoiler you can throw down that I will be like, that is not fair.
Oh,
Gundam
no,
shows
no.
Your favorite character dies.
No,
yes.
I've got one
just
more
all.
One more to close this out. In The Mousetrap, the detective is the murderer.
What?
There we go.
Mind blown. Anywho.
So, Jeff, what you got?
Screw it. Rob Ford has a new video out. It's his latest. It's awesome.
It's like the phrasing. Like, Rob Ford's got a new video out. It's like it's a music video.
It's a great video.
He has a YouTube
awesome.
Just uploaded
channel.
It to his YouTube
just
channel.
Just when you thought he was done. Just when you thought we had milked that joke dry. No. New content. New video. We get to start this all over again. It's going to be hilarious.
Seriously, I want to see him with a hat on sideways and chains now.
Yeah. And here's the thing, he has not announced that he's going to stop campaigning for re-election. Just take a break.
Yeah, I'm going to take a break, I'm going to get all the smoking I need done, and then I'm going to try and get re-elected. But first, I need to get all the drugs in my system before I'm ready to deal with this shit.
Well, yeah, he's like Popeye. The more drugs in his system, the better, the more powerful he is. Isn't that how that works?
I want someone to put that music on while he's smoking the pipe.
Well, just have it go on in that scene where he attacked that one councilwoman or whatever.
This man is an elected official.
Internet, you have your homework. Get to it. Add the Popeye theme song to Rob Ford videos. Go to it.
Dan, they're not going to do that right now.
Yeah, later. Dan, go.
My pick's going to be the Brian Vaughn run of Runaways. I picked up the complete volume one of that from my local comic store. And, you know, I've been eyeing the book for a while. It was really coming out strong when I was a broke post-college student or post-high school student. So I couldn't really pick it up other than borrowing it from the library. Bought the book, read the whole thing in one day. Damn, it's a good book. Like, that first 18-issue run should be the next Marvel TV show. You know, have it run on the off-season against S.H.I.E.L.D. They can make it work. You know,
I'll go for that as long as there is a pet dinosaur.
Well, you got to have the dinosaur.
You got this group.
Just steal one of the old Jurassic Park props.
Yeah. Just have a velociraptor hanging around.
Why not?
I mean,
you just chicken now and then. He's happy.
You got these kids who, you know, they're living a boring L.A. life, and then they find out the reason that they're living this boring L.A. life is the fact that their parents are a council of supervillains who have literally made an organized crime thing of, hey, you can do this here under our permission, but don't get too big to, you know, attract some, you know, Captain America, Iron Man types, you know, and, you know, there's a build-up to how they got to their position and why they're doing what they're doing, but it's just a damn good run. And Jim.
See, I'm still trying to figure out what the hell I'm going to do. Because I've had a lot going on this week, and none of it really related to pop culture or anything. Part of me wants to just say chili. Just in general. Just because chili's good. And I'm going to have to make a chili recipe soon because of a contest that Blizzard's running.
People have chili recipes? Like you,
sort of.
Like you measure things?
Oh, Jesus Christ, no. I don't measure shit.
I mean, I just figured you had this pot of stuff that you added things to when you felt like it.
Well, that's how really it works. You go out, like, you need some base things. You need, like, broth, and you need, like, tomatoes and tomato paste. And then from there, it's, do I have hamburger in the pot? Do I have sausage links in the pot? You know what? Fuck it. My pick of the week is chili. Do I have a cow heart in the pot? Do I have liver in the pot? Do I have ghost pepper sauce in the pot? Am I going to cook peppers in the chili pot for 4 hours before I actually cut them up and put them in the pot proper? Yes. Secret, so, yeah.
Secret ingredient, Jim, actually is one of my dad's recipe. About like not a half cup, but like I got to get the right amount, but barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
Barbecue
sauce will work.
Young's Double Chocolate Stout.
I've heard beer. I've actually wanted to try lager in it at some point.
Chocolate stout.
Oh, shit, actually. You know what sucks, Scott? This is going to be one of those rare times where I say it sucks that you are not out here.
Oh.
Because PEI is usually full of shit. There is a red IPA available on the island right now from a brewery called Bar None, and it is actually the Red Eye PA. Like, it's a reference to the flight. It is exquisite. I had this over the course of the Burger Month shit that we've had going on. It is a delicious, delicious beer, and it is a shame the rest of you can't experience this. Like, I've gone to bars pursuing this crap at this point. It's great. Really good beer. But yeah, my pick of the week is chili. Yeah. Simple, straightforward, tasty. Anybody who listens to the show and doesn't like chili, you offend me as a person.
Jim?
Yo.
I don't like chili.
Get the
Jeff,
fuck out.
You offend me as a person.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Not a chili person, what can I say? Even you the smell say... makes me nauseous. Just, ugh.
Man, you would not like my apartment when I cook chili because the smell lingers in the wall for about a week afterwards. I take about 8 hours to properly cook chili.
No.
Yep.
Anyhow, what are we talking about?
Well, Dan, you pitched this
besides
to me.
Chili.
There's other things to talk about?
Yeah, we're just going to share chili recipes all night long.
Sweet!
Crap.
All right, so... Yeah, so the whole idea I pitched was, since we're coming up on one of the biggest years for comic book movies, might as well discuss the different approaches both studios have taken, DC and Marvel. You know,
from
how to do and how not to do a comic book movie. You know, Green Lantern, example of not to do a movie by committee.
Maybe we shouldn't get Ryan Reynolds for Hal Jordan, period.
Because he's such a Ever. Kyle Rayner.
Okay, Here's the really dumbed-down version of difference between DC and Marvel's versions for making movies. Marvel set out a big, intricate, over-elaborate plan to the point where it is a little over-the-top, but it's better to be overdone than underdone. DC, take it throw it against the wall, see what sticks.
What sticks is always Batman, so just add more Batman.
No, I think this is what the big difference between DC and Marvel is. Marvel is not afraid to have comic book people make their movie. DC, because they are tied with Warner Brothers, Warner wants movie people making comic book movies.
Well,
the weird thing there is they were good in the 80s. Like, the Superman movies in the 80s still felt like Superman, and were still good movies, sort of.
I mean, Superman 3 notwithstanding.
Yeah, of course. There's a reason I put sort of on there. Yeah. But, I mean, we've talked about that before. Those Superman movies were great, and then they pumped out Man of Steel.
Well, even before that was Superman Returns, which was just obsessed with those first two.
The Donner era.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think at this point, DC's just in a mad panic to try and catch up to Marvel, because Marvel eventually realized, hey, people want to watch comic book movies, probably aren't in the mood for some grim, dark, brooding story that's akin to a war film. Odds are pretty good they want something showy and silly and fun.
If you want that, keep Nolan the fuck away from Superman. I'm sorry. That, you know, even though it was Zack Snyder who directed that, you could see the Nolan influence.
Well, it was just Goyer all over the place. And
well, yeah.
Before we get too deep into the current situation, there is a bit of a meme going around about how DC is like, you know what, the world isn't ready for something as outlandish as Wonder Woman. And then Marvel says,
here's a talking movie about a talking raccoon.
Yep.
A walking tree for a sidekick.
And now I'm going to...
Sidekick.
As fun as that is...
Flash house plant.
As fun as that is, I have to say right now, Disney would never have has had a history of problem with talking animal sidekicks. They really can't get them to fucking work. Disney does.
Yep.
And meanwhile,
Disney has nothing to do with talking animals ever.
Yeah, they've never had success with a raccoon. No. And at the same time,
now I miss the raccoons.
Hey, that raccoon in Pocahontas never talked. It just squeaked a lot.
Uh-huh. But you know what? You understood a damn thing he meant.
Yeah, well.
But at the same time, I have to say, so Black Widow's not getting a movie till Phase 3. We don't have Black Panther seeing getting anything. We don't
have. Well, that's because somebody else owns him. I think New One.
No one actually owns that one.
Really? I thought they did.
No. Carol Danvers not getting a movie. Spider-Woman, none of them are getting a movie.
No interest in a Spider-Woman movie, but still. Yeah, I would like to see Carol Danvers.
Marvel.
And I think
Marvel I want to see.
Like, depending on who you cast.
But I want her called Warbird, damn it.
I'd be fine with Binary. I would be fine with Binary.
Honestly, like, I had heard a crazy fan theory the other day that could lean credence, considering what they're doing with the Infinity Gems, that Skye from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be their Miss Marvel stand-in, because she's got an unknown background, nothing is known about her past other than her being dropped off at the orphanage and a bunch of S.H.I.E.L.D. agents dying, getting her there. See, and the fact that she had a much faster reaction to the alien blood than Coulson did.
See, that would mean them actually investing even a B-list character with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
So
the best you got is Deathlok so far, okay?
Yeah.
And in the Marvel categories, he's D, maybe E level.
He used to be good.
Hell, some people are thinking Ward's going to become Taskmaster.
No, they're trying a little too hard on these things. Look. You may get a hint of a Marvel thing here or there. Like, they kind of dropped a little bit of a hint of Man-Thing. They've dropped little hints here and there about Doctor Strange. You're not going to get anything huge here. But you know what? I'm still interested in seeing every episode of that thing, because they always leave on a little cliffhanger. Like, I'm going to go ahead and spoil it. Warning. Spoils. The very end of the last episode, where it turns out Project Tahiti was run by Coulson himself. He's like, huh.
Yeah.
That's like, okay, I'm coming back for the finale.
Well,
actually, the last two episodes.
And honestly, guys, if you want a legitimate theory as to
the whole big thing with the Hydra uprising, and now it kind of got slow again, and I was a little worried, but now it's picked up, and I'm definitely holding my interest.
And if you want a plausible theory as to what Skye's eventual superhero ID will be, find the Marvel heroine with the cheapest powers to do. That's who she is.
Right.
Because... Oh, you mean the one who's probably got indestructibility, elevated strength, and maybe a little bit of flight that we could jury-rig in through wiring if we felt like being lazy?
See, I don't even think flight. I think super speed is about the biggest stretch we're going to get. I think, if anything, it's going to be some sort of telepath where the whole power will just be squinting. Like think heroes levels, not what you actually want it to be, guys. Set the bar low.
It's going to be something low fucking budget. Granted, I called that when Netflix was supposed to be getting, you know, Luke Cage and Iron Fist and everybody else. I'm like, yep, none of you have an effects budget. That's wonderful.
Well, I mean, Daredevil.
We just got to put some, you know, decent martial artist in a big red suit.
Yep. Iron Fist, you need an Adobe After Effects library for flaming hands.
Yep. Luke Cage. Oh, we're done. All right.
We're done. Yeah.
We need a big black guy.
Just give Isaiah Mustafa.
Need Isaiah Mustafa.
Mustafa, give him a t-shirt. He'll be fine. Yep.
Give him a yellow t-shirt. Let's get him a silver tiara.
But yeah, okay, back to the subject, though. Like, DC, back in the 70s, was on top. I mean, they were the kings of the movie market.
Because Marvel didn't know what the hell it was doing.
Well, yeah. Marvel had issues with who to try to tie it to. Because they had a failed pilot for Iron Man. They had a failed pilot for Doctor Strange.
Oh, I would not call that one.
They had some success with Spider-Man and some success with Hulk.
I wouldn't. You're forgetting the TV movie Captain America's.
I was getting to those. I'm just doing it in order.
The trial of the Hulk with Thor and Daredevil.
Yep.
Oh, God, that
Thor.
Freaking aluminum foil Thor helmet.
Oh, yeah. That thing was fantastic, and anybody that says otherwise is a liar.
Yeah, in all honesty, Daredevil in that movie wasn't terrible. Thor was. Wow.
Quick, let's have Thor and the Hulk hanging from a helicopter. What do you mean Thor's supposed to be able to fly?
That's crazy. Thor can't fly. He's a guy with a hammer. That doesn't mean he can fly.
And
what do you mean this is based on comic books?
And then,
what?
Of course, we have the, I want to say, early 90s CBS attempt at Justice League.
Oof.
Oh, God,
that was supposed to be a follow-up to the Flash TV show.
That actually made freaking Gen X look like it had a budget.
Do we want to talk about Lois and Clark?
Hey, that was
Actually
tolerable.
Good, because that actually focused on the characters rather than the powers.
Yeah. Lois and Clark
except
wasn't
for the fact
actually
that
bad.
Superman and Lois, a romantic comedy.
Yeah. You know, it worked for 8 seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you could take out Superman and Lois and then put, you know, random guy A, random girl B, eliminate the superpowers, and we had the same damn show.
Well, yeah.
That's what was popular at the time, though, well.
It was literally moonlighting, but one of them was Superman instead of being Bruce Willis. Which is a different set of superpowers. They hadn't really developed at that point. It wasn't really till Die Hard 2 where Bruce Willis got superpowers.
Yeah.
Admittedly, he's never gotten rid of them since.
That is true. Sometimes they're different ones. Sometimes his superpower is talking to dead people or...
being dead.
Being dead or being able to channel his inner child outwardly for some reason. Or are we not talking about that movie?
No, we're not talking about that movie. Anyway.
Yeah, no, the echoing silence says no.
But where were we? Yes, Lois and Clark.
We got to the 90s. So yeah, you had the Captain America movie where Captain America was a dick to women and robbed people of their motorcycles left and right.
Well, you have to have Captain...
Okay.
Come on.
Oh, remember Red Skull in that movie? What the hell was Red Skull? It looked like a giant killer tomato on a head. There was all sorts of horrible things going on with Marvel back then. But then we had a sudden turn.
Well, I think
before that we had a bunch of other bad ideas.
Like, you can't leave out the 1979 Captain America movie.
Oof.
Which had, you know, Rip Steakface wandering around being vaguely mopey. Yeah, I mean, eventually punches some terrorists, but it's mostly just, good old punch rock groin being boring.
He's wearing blue PJs that is supposed to be the Captain America uniform.
And his clear shield.
Shall we talk about that god-awful Fantastic Four movie that never got released?
I only saw the only thing I've seen of that is the special effects reel with the really bad animatronic thing face.
Oh, you gotta watch the whole thing where it's just creepy. It's actually just creepy.
It's one of those movies that was so bad, they kind of sat down and watched this thing. It's like, wow, we can never release this.
Oh, no, they never intended to. It was they gave Roger Corman $1 million to make a movie so they could hold on to the rights for 5 more years. No one was actually planning on showing it to anyone.
So it was a movie made just for the sake of making it.
Yes.
Yep.
Like most of the Marvel movies that aren't Marvel Studios right now.
Gotta love it that, Sony has developed a 7-year plan for Spider-Man that mostly consists of loading the movies with teases for the next Spider-Man movie.
Yep. We cannot lose this.
This is all we've got.
Just like Fox going, holy shit, we can't let him touch X-Men.
Oh, X-Men? You mean Wolverine and his bitches?
Pretty much, yeah.
Hey, they're trying. First Class was a good sign.
Yeah, and then what do they do with the next two movies? Or Wolverine?
Days of the Future Past starring Wolverine. Yeah.
It's just like the comic books. Yes. Clearly, anybody reading X-Men is all about Wolverine.
I'm more of a Deadpool guy anyway, but...
I miss the 80s.
But then you also, through the 90s, you saw the slow downward spiral of the Batman live-action franchise.
Well,
you had
the two
good Burton films, and then Forever was okay.
And then we got Schumacher, history's greatest monster.
Yep. Hey, laugh if you want, but if he ever showed up at a comic book convention, I would be afraid for his life.
I would not punch him in the kidneys, no matter how much I want to say.
If he showed up at a convention, I'm pretty sure the security staff would be like, sir, we do not want to incite a riot. Please leave.
We will not be held liable for your safety. If you're going to be here, you better be in costume. And he's like, I've got just the costume.
Bat nipples.
And then he comes out in the bat nipples. No.
And yet no one wants to punch anyone for anything involving steel.
Oh.
I remember really wanting to watch that as a kid, and then I saw a review of it, and I was like, yeah, I'm kind of glad I saved my parents the $5.60 for that.
I think I did watch it at some point. I may have rented it.
I think I saw it on cable once. And
I must miss the days when Shaq thought he had a movie career.
Weren't they also planning to make that Shaq Fu game a movie?
No, yeah, they're making another Shaq Fu. They announced it was made on April Fool's, and they said, no, we're actually making the game. We're making Shaq Fu 2.
Is he still a thing at all?
Yeah, he's still a thing.
Pops up in commercials now and then, but...
He's retired, and he still makes a lot of money doing, basketball stuff, so he's still a thing.
He's following the Michael Jordan career of, okay, I've retired from the sport, now let's just do stuff to keep me famous.
Hey, he hasn't released another
Shaq
rap
Fu
album.
Shaq Fu 2 is being crowdfunded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Who else would fund it but Kickstarter? Come on.
Oh.
Do you expect Activision or some of the other big companies to jump on that? Hell no.
It's got 5 days left and it hasn't reached its goal yet. We might just survive.
There's hope for humanity yet.
My faith in humanity returned. Although there is 5 days, so...
But yeah, then you had Batman and Robin kind of kill comic book movies for about 4 years.
Well, yes and no, because they still tried things. I mean... There was Catwoman.
I'm sorry, there was a Catwoman movie in the early 2000s? I don't acknowledge the existence of that.
About that.
Garbage.
If you had not mentioned that at all, I would never have brought it up. It literally wasn't in my head at all.
No, that's a movie so bad. We remember, Elektra. We remember Batman and Robin as bad movies. Catwoman was so incredibly terrible, we have actually... subconsciously erased it from existence. When someone mentions it exists, we're like, what? Oh,
that
movie
is the definition of trauma.
Well, and even the next year after Batman and Robin, they did release Blade, and that was fine.
Yeah, well, Blade was pretty good.
Blade 2 was pretty good. Blade Trinity, not so much.
We come back to the issue of why is Ryan Reynolds here?
I actually was fine with Ryan Reynolds. With his character, the ex-ghoul or ex-Renfield or whatever he was supposed to be.
But that's not Hannibal King.
Well, no. But did anyone care by that point?
Hey, the coolest thing in that movie was Triple H. I'm just saying.
Yeah. But no, Blade 1 and Blade 2, those were solid. But they also didn't feel like comic book movies. They just felt like horror action movies.
Yeah.
They were the prototypes for Underworld.
Really?
Giga what?
No, you see the Marvel logo at the beginning of the movie? That wasn't paying attention.
That's not a vampire. Why the hell would I care about that?
Then, of course, in 2002, we get Spider-Man 1, which...
Well, didn't... Correct me if I'm
wrong.
No,
no, wait. We had X-Men first.
Yeah,
yeah, I was going to say.
I forgot.
X-Men was kind of the movie where... That was a gamble. Most people didn't think that would work. And the X-Men came out and they're like, hey.
Well, they got a good cast. They got good writing and everything else. And I mean, who else were you going to cast for some of those roles? Who the fuck else plays Xavier?
Huh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Xavier was the painfully obvious one. It's like, okay, we need to cast Xavier. Done. Okay, yeah. We need to cast Magneto. Done.
Yeah.
Okay, who do we get for Cyclops and all these other guys? That was a little tougher to fill. And then you got to Wolverine, which is like, I don't know if anyone can ever play that.
Hugh Jackman was kind of still an unknown in Hollywood at that
point. Oh, he was definitely an unknown. No one knew who he was.
I looked at him and I'm like, you're too big and not Canadian.
Right. Then he, I watched the movie and I'm like, I'll be damned.
Yeah, that was pretty Wolverine.
And then, of course, following that success, we got Spidey.
And,
which really, honestly, kind of worked in a. It was just like Star Wars. It was the timing of world events, following 9/11 and having a hero like that pop up.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I liked Raimi's first Spider-Man. Mm. It really felt properly like Spider-Man to me. Like some people rip on Maguire's portrayal, but you know what? He felt like the everyman.
Well,
and that's what Parker's supposed to be.
I almost wish it had been a period piece, just like really hammer on that Lee Ditko era of the character.
Yeah.
Because that was really what Raimi was pulling from Amazing Fantasy pretty hard.
Yeah, oh, honestly, rewatching those movies now, I can just see that's like, this is so set in the early 70s.
Yeah.
And, of course... We had a couple sequels Spider-Man.
Like X-Men. Well, I do want to point this out. X-Men, kind of the biggest punchline of the trailers of X-Men was mocking Wolverine's costume. Like they put them all in vaguely tactical black leather jumpsuits and then shat on the idea of them wearing yellow. And then you have Spider-Man. Yeah. And then you have Spider-Man just saying, no, we're fucking Spider-Man. We're going to act like it's the 70s, even though it's set in modern day. We're going to be so goddamn Spider-Man, you're going to bleed blue.
Well, people complain about Maguire's portrayal of Spider-Man. It's like, he was an okay Spider-Man, but you know what he got? He was Peter Parker.
Yeah, exactly.
He got, I mean, you can have issue with the way he portrayed Spider-Man. He wasn't snarky enough. He wasn't smart enough. But you know what? He nailed Peter Parker. I have zero issue with his portrayal of Peter Parker. And honestly, he did a good enough Spider-Man to keep me happy.
And, well, we've got to give mad props to J.K. Simmons. Because that was...
J.K. Simmons is...
Jonah.
He just is.
Yeah.
Spider-Man. Right?
For some strange, weird reason, when they wrote J. Jonah Jameson, they actually were writing this guy, despite the fact that he hadn't been born yet.
Yeah.
Well, like, this is the only guy who carried the Spider-Man threat or menace for 4 years as a headline for his paper and still keep it alive. Every day opening up with a goddamn Spider-Man article. People would get sick of it eventually.
If J. Jonah Jameson is in The Amazing Spider-Man 2 or the Sinister Six movie, and it is not J.K. Simmons, I am going to be pissed.
And the dialogue isn't copy-pasted from the animated series.
Because it's like, how the fuck do you do that?
You don't. It, like I said, this role was made for him despite the fact that he wasn't born yet. I don't know how that works, but it does.
I really, really hope they don't recast. I really hope they just get Simmons back.
Even if it's, even if he's in the movie for 2 minutes, as a little cameo, I'm happy. Yeah.
But I mean, and then there was a third Spider-Man movie and it was fucking terrible because it was a 90-minute resignation letter.
Yeah.
I did.
Nobody's ever
convinced
me otherwise.
He did.
Well, you just see the studio interferences. Like, people love Venom. We want Venom. Throw Venom in there. And then, literally, you can tell right in the first 10 minutes, the meteor lands with not a thunderous boom, but a thump.
Yep. Here's this thing that's here.
Here's your goddamn Venom. You happy?
We're going to throw in Topher Grace for reasons, and it's like, you've cast Thomas Hayden Church. If you really want to go Venom, use Thomas Hayden Church. Make him Brock. And then it fits. Because he's fucking huge relative to Maguire.
Yeah.
I said that the first time when they were like, hey, somebody told me that Thomas Hayden Church was in it. I'm like, so he's Brock, right? And they're like, no, he's Marco. The fuck is he Marco?
Yeah. Well, he could have pulled off Marco if somebody of equal size and stature had been put in as Brock.
Yeah.
But no, we have to get the other heartthrob of the time, or the new heartthrob of Topher Grace. And, oh, what is his Venom? It's just a goddamn spider suit with a mouth and teeth.
Yep.
Yeah, that was... I always thought of Spider-Man 3 as, hey, we got two or three really good ideas for a movie here, but I'm done making Spider-Man movies. We're just going to ham-fist everything we can into one.
3 was just them throwing all the leftovers of 1 and 2 together and to make a movie.
Well, actually, they said there was even more. He had a whole idea for Vulture in number 3, but they said, no, you can't have Vulture because we want Venom. It's like, okay, how about if I try and put them all in the same movie? As long as Venom's in there, we're fine.
Well, but Vulture was originally in the draft. Problem. Vulture was in the draft for the James Cameron Spider-Man.
Which terrible.
Oh, God.
Jesus, no.
Yeah, we don't...
There is...
Oof.
Polydimensional Theory says there is a world out there where that thing got made, and I feel sorry for the few people still alive in it.
That damn multiverse where we're sitting around right now, also recording a podcast, going, the horror that was the James Cameron Spider-Man.
I can't believe so many people died that day.
The riots of nerddom. Oh, my Lord. The movie that shall not be named.
For that according to the new universe, government, we're not allowed. Don't worry, guys. We would buy you beer if we could. Maybe they don't drink over there, though.
But
no, that's just too far.
Then we had the whole stretch of third movie crap outs, like X-Men Last Stand. Like,
oh, you mean Wolverine Fun Time?
Well, what do you expect from a director who did not know Wolverine had claws?
Or it's, hey, our director just got hired away and replaced with a better director.
He seriously did not know that Wolverine had claws.
What the hell did he do when Jackman walked on set then? What the fuck are those?
Put down the knives, sir. Knives?
Oh, God, he's here to kill me. These are part of the character, but now I'm really considering it.
Hey, he some has of knives them... coming out of his... Wow, that's cool. That do we work that in the movie somehow? It's critical. Really?
Yes.
Damn. God. How much of this plot? Okay, let's start again.
So what's this about? They're all space aliens, right?
And the Phoenix is not actually a fiery bird. It's just some metaphorical nonsense. But never mind.
Hey, not everything waited until the third movie to crap out. I mean, Ghost Rider crapped from the start. Fantastic Four got to 2 and fell apart.
Ghost Rider 1 was not a bad movie. It wasn't particularly good.
No, it was kind of a bad movie.
Parts without Nick Cage in it were good.
There was
one
good scene.
It wasn't a good Ghost Rider movie. It was a fun cowboy movie with Nick Cage in it, but it wasn't a good Ghost Rider movie.
Ghost Rider 1 was tolerable. I've seen worse. Ghost Rider 2 was crap.
I haven't seen that yet. Despite being a massive Ghost Rider fan, I have not seen that film.
Don't. Even for the special effects, which, let's face it, Ghost Rider 1, no one gave a rat's ass about the story or the plot. It just had some kick-ass special effects.
Well,
Ghost
we had
Rider
to have
2, I went
in helicopter.
The same way. I was like, okay, the plot will be terrible, but at least I'll enjoy the special effects. And the plot was so bad. So bad. You're like, I just don't want to watch anymore.
Then, of course, we had the Fantastic Four franchise, which just... Almost made me, when I heard that Chris Evans got cast as Captain America, I almost swore him off in that movie just because of his performance as Johnny Storm.
No,
because
I
didn't realize how incredible of an actor he was.
Now, I'd already seen him in Scott Pilgrim, and I'm like, no, he can be a captain.
See, I didn't agree with him as Steve until Winter Soldier. When I walked in and I watched him in Winter Soldier, I was like, that is Steve Rogers. I fucking loved him in that movie.
No, Winter Soldier was awesome.
Oh, it's fantastic.
That's one of those movies I want on Blu-ray right now.
Yeah. Right now. That thing comes out, I'm buying that.
Oh, yeah.
There's
me
no
too.
Question of that.
I want it right now. Like, now. Now.
I have every Marvel movie that's come out of their main series that they own on Blu-ray so far.
Are we to Iron Man 1 yet? Cause
just about.
we're going to talk about Wolverine, then we can bring up Iron Man.
Yeah.
Oh. Wolverine was bad. All right, let's go to Iron Man.
There was Superman Returns, which I think we've already said enough about.
Yeah, again, was just, man, weren't the Donner movies great?
Yeah. One big nostalgia trip. Anywho, Iron Man, there we go.
So much fun.
This was pretty much made by Marvel, just by themselves. Now, okay, let's just make the movie exactly the way you want it. You were talking about earlier comic book guys making their movies. This is the purest sense of the word. This is before Disney bought Marvel. And to Disney credit, when Disney bought Marvel, they're like, okay, you guys are doing really good. Keep doing what you're doing. We'll make some money. Go. They really haven't, you know, fucked around with it too much. They've just said, you guys are making us money. Keep at it. Yep. We're going to be over here.
Well, that's...
You guys doing okay? Need any extra money to make the movie? You want to make how many movies? 10? Sure, go for it. Go.
Whatever. Keep making money. We'll keep giving you money to make more. Because yeah.
As long as you keep making money, we will keep giving you more stuff.
Huh.
Okay, we came out. Captain America Winter Soldier. Did it make money? Hell yeah. Okay, guys, go. Guardians of the Galaxy. What's it about? Who cares? Go. Talking Raccoon. Yeah, whatever.
Sure, why not?
Big talking tree that only says one thing? Voiced by Vin Diesel? Yeah, sure, go for it.
See, actually, that's one of my favorite things about GG. Two of the biggest named actors in it, hiding behind a CG tree and a CG raccoon.
Yes.
I still think they should have got, like, a real, like, serious action movie person to play the raccoon. Like, Jason...
I don't mind Bradley Cooper as it.
Yeah, but just get, like, Jason Statham or Sylvester Stallone, someone who sounds scary.
Somebody with an accent.
Great.
I don't know. I like Bradley Cooper just because Bradley Cooper is an admitted comic book fan.
Yeah.
They asked him, hey, would you like to be in a Marvel movie? And he's like, sure. Which one? Guardians. Do I get to play Rocket? Yes. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and then, of course, like as soon as like everybody heard that Vin Diesel was talking to Marvel and everybody knew that they were doing a Guardians project, it's like, please be Groot. Please be Groot. Please be Groot.
Well, then he was
please
teasing
be Groot.
Said, I'm going to be Vision. You're like, what? Like, I'm going to be Vision. What? Vision?
Nobody wants to be Vision.
And then finally we just kind of stopped and looked at him. The entire internet was like, really? He's like, nah, I'm fucking with you. I'm Groot.
I am Groot.
You get the goddamn voice of the Iron Giant.
Yeah.
You're going to make him Groot.
Or Superman.
Superman.
No, actually, he'd be a decent Bizarro, but anyway.
No, shit. Now I want them to make a Red Sun movie. Seriously, him as Luther's fucking U.S. Bizarro?
Oh, God.
He'd be great.
We get him a black wig and okay.
It would never happen, though.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, now we got DC doing pretty awesome with the Batman movies.
Batman came as about dumb luck. They're like, hey, Nolan comes in. I'd like to make a Batman movie. Well, shit, go for it. See what happens. Then Batman hits him like, oh, wow. Okay, here, make another one. And then, wow, holy crap, make a third. And he's like, I don't know if I want to. No, you're making a third.
Shit.
He goes, okay, one more. All right, and he makes a third. Okay, now what do we do?
Yeah, we've petered this concept out, and he refuses to do more. And the only reason that even worked is because Batman's functionally a baseline hero, and he told a noir story.
Well, then DC finally got the wise, and they looked over, and they saw Marvel killing it, and they're like, okay, we need to get a plan together before this falls apart.
They keep saying they have a plan, but no, they don't have a plan.
They have a very short-term plan. Like, Marvel has, you know, to the plan to the intricacy of insanity. They've got stuff planned out for 10 years.
Yeah.
DC's plan is make the Superman-Batman movie, get to the Justice League movie, figure it out from there.
Meanwhile, continue to develop television projects that may or may not be part of this or not. We'll see, maybe. Here's the Flash
will be in the movie. So will Wonder Woman. We might as well just be calling this Justice League.
Yeah,
but it's set up for Justice League.
Justice League, the prequel.
Yeah, exactly.
Honestly, if they were going to do an interconnected universe, they should have done team-up books as their movies. They should, in my opinion, they should have opened it with Batman and Superman. They should have opened it with World's Finest. Is the Freddy versus Jason. They're, you don't have to waste 90 minutes on backstory.
No.
Open it up with Bruce's parents getting shot, and then it tilts up to the sky, and you see a shooting star that happens to crash land in Kansas. Bam, set, get the suits on.
Well, that's
or you could have the shuttle come down and kill Bruce's parents.
Spend a whole lot of time on Origin to a story that pretty much everyone, even non-comic book fans, knows the Superman origin story.
Yeah.
We all know the deal.
You don't even need
everyone
to do
knows
origins.
The Batman origin story. Nobody cares about the Flash, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, or Cyborg origin story. We just don't give a damn.
Well, people know who Wonder Woman is. People know who the Flash is. You don't need a story to set them up. It's like, hey, I'm here. I'm Wally. I run fast. Let's do stuff. Let's punch in a hyper-intelligent ape.
Well, that's the thing about DC. Every character there is just pretty straightforward. Batman, Batman. Superman,
he's dark and brooding.
Superman, super-powered Boy Scout. Wonder Woman, hot chick that will whoop your ass. Cyborg, Cyborg. Green Lantern, magician with a green ring.
Space cop. Space
Flash
cop.
Is fast. That's about it.
Like,
and well, Martian well, you... Manhunter, big green alien dude.
Well, and
green shape-shifting Superman.
You look at the Justice League Unlimited premiere, like the five-parter, and it's like they didn't have to explain anyone except for Martian Manhunter. Yeah. And it still worked.
Well, fuck, most of DC's... Because DC had that series of animated movies they were running for a while there. And none of those give you any explanation. You watch Brave New World and they don't go, well, we need to show Bruce's parents getting killed or Clark crashing down. They're just like, fuck it. Here's your world. We're going to assume you know these characters.
Well, yeah, that was one of my favorite ones. The Flashpoint Paradox movie is they don't... I mean, they go alternate history on a plot. If someone just sat down and watched it, that's one of those rare ones where if you just sat someone down and said, this is an alternate history of a history you don't know, they'd be like, what?
Yeah.
That is one of the few movies that, you know, you requires at least a base level of DC knowledge.
Well, the thing is they do a 20-minute introduction. They don't spend the entire damn movie on it.
It's also an animated movie. They don't got the time. Everybody else does.
Well, yeah. It's just like...
Or the budget, for that matter.
I was listening to Fat Man on Batman, and he had Paul Dini on, one of the guy, you know, the godfathers of the Batman the Animated Series, which gave DC their animated block. And he wrote a whole bunch of Zatanna comics after he got out of the animation part, at least the DC animated stuff. He, along with several other writers, had been putting together pitches and projects for Batman versus Superman, for Superman Lives, you know, all that stuff Kevin Smith talked about. And somebody read he wrote for a bunch of stuff for Zatanna. Somebody read his graphic novel and got a corporate producer together with a bunch of writers and stuff, and they called him up and they asked him, so, you know, we need a pitch line, blah, 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 all that, you know. And first thing he asks is, so am I being paid for this? And to quote Paul Dini, the response he got out of that producer was, fuck no, you work for animation. That is a research division for film. And then he hung up on him. It's like the film side of DC, which is mostly owned by Warner Brothers, does not try to talk to their comic guys who know the damn books and characters they're trying to write for. They are more interested in just getting the names out there. Like, I guarantee you, at that Comic-Con press conference, that graphic probably was only 48 hours old. And they're just like, hey, Batman Superman project. Okay, so if anybody have any idea how we're going to do this? No? We got the graphic.
That did seem kind of hastily put together. I think, like I said, hey, you know what we should do for the next movie? Introduce Batman and start up the Justice League. Cool, we're going to say that at the Comic-Con. And as soon as Comic-Con was over, okay, how do we do this?
Whereas well, how do we convince Marvel, you know, Goyer to do it?
Marvel already has the plots, or at least the plot thread, all the way through the third Avengers movie at this point.
They have the Infinity Gauntlet overview set.
Right.
You know,
somewhere, someplace, there is a grand storyboard with everything laid out and only a few people know where it is.
Well, here's the thing. Marvel is willing to distribute this to a whole bunch of different directors. You have Whedon. You have, what's his guy? The guy who did Iron Man. Blanking on his name right now.
Jeez.
Not Kevin Feige. That's the main guy producing everything. It'll come to me, but you have him. You had, what's his name? Shakespeare dude who did Thor. You have Tom Gunn doing Guardians. They're distributing these among all their different people.
Well, directors aside, who's writing all these? Comic book guys.
Well, that's the other thing, is Warner, apparently the only person they can have do any shit is Zack Snyder. And
But he's I'm the a little one worried about what.
Well, the thing is that Scott Snyder is the one who does the comic books. Zack Snyder is the movie guy who, from what I heard, his original draft of Watchmen was god awful terrible. Do you want to know how that version ended? Or no, was it he who saved it? I don't remember.
Yeah, no, he saved it from Terry Gilliam.
Okay, I had it backwards. My bad.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he... they need to stretch their legs. They need to let their comic book people write their comic and do their comic book movies. And it's almost like they're afraid to. I mean...
Well, the base model is Marvel is willing to roll the dice. DC is not. So if we're going to put all this money in... Or Warner Brothers, rather, is willing to... Not willing to roll the dice. Because Disney's like, okay, we're going to let you try Guardians of the Galaxy. If it flops... we'll make it up someplace else. We got crap tons of money.
Well,
we're Disney, for God's sakes. We own ESPN, ABC, all these movies, Pixar. We're rolling cash. Warner Brothers is like, okay, this has to be a success. Well, so we're not taking any risks.
Well, the thing is this year they already have their successes. They have Godzilla. Last year they had Pacific Rim, which, yes, domestically it sucked, but internationally it rocked.
They are still nervous about Godzilla. The last Godzilla movie that came out tanked.
For a reason.
Yes,
for
a reason.
Yeah, because that was Roland Emmerich wanting to do a Jurassic Park knockoff with a bigger dinosaur.
Right. Well, yeah, but there's a reason they haven't said, oh, we're going to do another Godzilla. They're like, we want to see how this does first.
Yeah.
I mean, by all accounts, it's going to be great, but they're not going to go there until they know they got a financial success. Whereas
Disney
Marvel
did their gambit with Marvel's Iron Man.
Right.
That was a gambit, and that gambit paid off. They're continuing forward.
They had a side plan for. They had a side plan for. Hey, if Iron Man is a success, let's push for other movies and get an Avengers project going. And then they did Iron Man. They relaunched Hulk.
Yeah.
They did Iron Man 2. They did Thor. They did Captain America.
We stepped right over the Hulk movies.
For reasons. God.
Well, I think
let's
mentioned
go back
this.
For a sec.
Yeah.
Ang Lee's was horrible.
Ang Lee's Hulk, the problem with Ang Lee's Hulk, well, there's several problems, but the biggest problem I have is Hulk looked like he belonged in a Scooby-Doo cartoon.
Yeah.
The whole time I was thinking...
comic book shots where it's, you know, here's the big picture and two smaller frames of the same image.
He looked like a rubber Muppet to me.
He didn't look like the Hulk.
I didn't mind the comic book because they were stupid, but that didn't ruin the movie. But the whole time Hulk was on screen, he did not look like anything living. It's like, wow, it looks like a plastic toy of some sort. And I remember them showing, you know, animatics of like, we wanted to make sure this was as emotionally real as possible. And we worked so hard to make sure this looked like a real Hulk. I'm like, you failed.
Yeah, you did horribly. Well done.
I'm sorry. I know you guys put a lot of work into it, but all that work produced a pile of shit. I'm sorry. Hard work does not necessarily mean success. It means you tried.
Yeah.
I mean, I think out of all the Phase 1 movies, though, Incredible Hulk was the riskiest because of all the stuff with Ed Norton trying to be a prima donna and wanting to make it more closer to the 79 series, where the movie had enough shout-outs to it. You didn't have to copy it verbatim.
Well, they tried to make... They said they made a more action cut of the movie, and Norton didn't like that. They're like, well, we kind of run things, so we're going to go ahead and put it out like that. I said, fine, I'm not doing any more...
Well, thankfully, that got us Ruffalo, who should have been Banner from the goddamn start.
Oh, yeah, Ruffalo killed it. Ruffalo, like, there's that old, you know, Big Bang Theory gag where they're like, I was so angry that Norton Jr. wasn't the Bruce Banner in the Avengers. And then we got Mark Ruffalo, and he turned out to be even better.
Well, yeah, it's... I just liked Ruffalo. Like, I just watched Ruffalo in the Avengers, and I'm like, where was this in the first movie? Or, well, first of the Marvel standalone version. You know, it just... His character cut was so much better.
Yeah.
And, you know, you had to... You know, for years, Justice League projects had been planned out. I think since 94. And the only success they had been in animated projects. And then you have Marvel step in. They have success with Iron Man. They have success with Hulk. Or Incredible Hulk. They start drafting their ideas. They pitch it around to people. Kevin Feige comes up with a grand plan, and then they do three more movies, and then they go right into the Avengers, and it worked because, you know, it's not the standalone project that Warner Brothers wants with Justice League. It's the product of all these efforts. And each one is better than the last.
Well, they're building and learning as they go, and that's kind of the big advantage they've got. Like, Captain America, the first one, the first of the recent ones, I didn't much care for.
It was alright.
I watched it. It was passable. I didn't like some of the way they did the 3D. I fucking hate it when you throw a shield at my face.
Go ahead.
Yeah. But Winter Soldier? Winter Soldier's fucking amazing. Winter Soldier was a blast. I walked out of there and said, if that's the way Marvel wants to do Captain America movies from this point out, like superheroes and spies, you know what? I'll be there every fucking time. I was more psyched from Winter Soldier than I was from Dark World, and I liked Dark World more than I liked the first Thor. Dark World was a pretty solid film.
Oh, yeah. Look at the Phase 2 product so far. Iron Man 3 closes out Tony's story.
Yeah.
You know? Him dealing with his own shit and stuff, you know, the whole thing, narration at the beginning of he creates his own demons. You know, people raise shit about, oh, why don't you just get the Avengers? It's like, no, it's his problem. He created it. He wants to fix it.
That's how Tony does everything.
That and, you know, Thor was busy fighting alien elves in London.
Yep.
Led by the Doctor.
Fantastic.
And then there's the name drop in Winter Soldier.
Of Stephen Strange.
Well, yep. Stephen Strange is a smart move because Disney really likes Iron Man, and I think they can give the Good Doctor a similar arc to the first movie about a cocky genius guy who gets undone and has to learn responsibility.
And he just happens to become one of the most powerful characters in Marvel, period. Well,
even the world building itself, like... if you watch The Incredible Hulk, when he's looking at the placard for the guy who becomes the leader or may become the leader or whatever, what's his name? I can't think of it. Mr. Blue.
Yeah.
You look at the placard, there's Hank Pym.
Yep.
You know, they're subtle with their world building and their shout outs.
I've been trying to figure out, does anybody recognize the name Michael Linden?
The only thing I can think of is the actor from Little House on the Prairie.
I don't think it was him. It's been bugging me since the Winter Soldier, like since the scene in Winter Soldier. And I'm like, I know that name, and I don't fucking know why.
I think
but
he's
it's
an
a
actual
very obscure Marvel character. I'm certain of it.
I think he's a real guy. I'm getting a real person.
Real people aren't Marvel characters.
I know.
Hey, Gary Shandling is an agent of Hydra. That's all I'm saying.
Gary Shandling is a terrible human being who shouldn't be allowed to work in anything.
But back the whole thing, like, the cameo.
Oh, I know
shout
who
out,
he is.
Like
he's an executive at Roxxon.
Oh. Oh, no.
Thank you.
Roxxon. That's like the third time I've heard Roxxon before. I've seen that in an Iron Man movie.
I think that's their insert for the whole arc about Iron Man 3.
Roxxon's just sort of generic evil oil company in the comics.
Yep.
Yeah.
But
they eventually partially destroy the world.
In Ultimate, they really fuck things up. Like, in standard Marvel universe, they're evil. In Ultimate universe, they are they are Lex Luthor.
They twirl their mustaches. Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
But
destroy all of you.
Yeah, the whole thing about Marvel's approach versus DC is Marvel's willing to do the subtle call-outs, you know, the mention of Man-Thing, the mention of Doctor Strange. With DC, with them casting all, oh, we have Wonder Woman, oh, we have Cyborg, you know, it's like, just hide it in the damn movie, you know, have you know, Perry, you know, at the end of Superman vs. Batman come up to Clark and go, hey, have you heard about this, somebody out in the Mediterranean, you know, beating the crap out of pirates?
Somebody watching TV in a bar and it's showing college football picks and one of them is Victor Stone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't have to be so blatantly obvious about it.
Have a flyer for the Flying Graysons taped to a post.
Well, Man of Steel did have some subtle shout-outs. Like, there was a call-out.
The
Wayne Enterprises satellite. There was LexCorp everywhere.
There was a call out to the comic book company that Booster Gold works with, whichever.
But, you know, keep it subtle like that. You know, have, you know, a playing in the background or people hearing reports of, you know, strange superpowered people or a flowing green light or, you know, just a quick blur of red, you know, subtlety.
Hey, yeah. They've got – the reason they keep doing this, I think, is they got the hype train, and they rarely ever do. They rarely ever got a lot of hype surrounding a movie of theirs, and they had to delay it a year. So they got to milk this sucker for almost 2 years now. Say, okay, we got a hype train going.
Yeah, and now we have it known as the meme of the Batman versus Superman versus Wonder Woman versus The Flash versus Cyborg versus the Green Lantern versus random guy on L.A. street.
But,
Dr. Fate.
But you're still talking about a movie that's barely even been made yet. They've only just started. That's what they want. They want, you know, what Star Wars has. Star Wars, they so much as mentioned, you know, one thing. Hey, we're sitting around a room talking about the plot. Here's a bunch of our actors. The fucking internet goes down. They want that kind of hype for Superman versus Batman.
The problem is it looks like it's going to turn into another Green Lantern, or if they're going to have a movie by committee rather than the people who are assigned on the crew on how to do it.
Maybe they will, but for the time being, they want you to keep talking about it. The fact that we're talking about a movie now that's barely even been made and we're already, you know, freaking out about it, they're happy. There's an old saying, there is no such thing as bad publicity, although the current owner of the Los Angeles Clippers might disagree. But anyway.
Well, Mr. Ford as well.
Yeah, well.
Nah, Ford's been trying to run that as good publicity his entire time.
Well, that's because he's a crazy person.
Yes.
But at least in terms of the entertainment industry, you're talking about them. Even if you're really nervous about what they're going to do, hey, you're talking about a movie we're in the process of making. We haven't even got it, you know, done yet, and you're already talking about it.
But the thing is that they haven't even started production, and all they have is rumors and speculation to hype, rather than, oh, hey, here's a leaked fit picture of Ben Affleck in the costume. Oh, here's Batman and Superman standing together on a rooftop. You know, legitimate stuff. Marvel's hype is previewing, you know, in that 1 hour special they did in place of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., showing the demo clip that they did for Ant-Man, showing the concept art for Age of Ultron, showing Scarlett Johansson sitting in a Hulkbuster prop hand. Having something to back it is a lot better than saying, oh, we have such and such character in it. It's just like, it's getting to the point, it's like, it's overdone. It's just like, oh, that's nice.
Do you actually have something relevant? Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, okay.
But we don't have anything relevant to show you right now, so we're going to just keep throwing you little innuendos and bullshit information you don't care about.
It's getting to the level of being Pierre Molyneux.
Hey, like I said, they don't care what you're talking about, as long as you're talking.
So long as you're talking about them, that really is all they give a shit about. What they're neglecting is there's a lot of people going, I don't care anymore.
Right, but the fact they're saying, hey, enough, I don't care anymore, I don't care. But you're still saying something about it.
Yeah, but then...
And that's kind of the Facebook and Twitter world we live in. We don't care if you say it sucks. Just mention it.
Yeah. So long as you put that hashtag on there.
We're happy.
But the thing is, you know, they're getting people to talk about their product before they even have an actual fucking product.
Right, and that's exactly what they like. Yeah. We don't have a product. You're already talking about a product we don't even have done yet.
And then when the product comes out and it's a huge disappointment, they're going to be the next Last Airbender. They're going to be the next Green Lantern. They're going to be the next X-Men Wolverine's origin. Where,
but,
you know, we take Deadpool, the Merc.
If they come out and knock it out of the park, all is forgiven. That's a big if.
I don't think
so. If they come out and Superman movie is, you know, jaw-droppingly awesome, all this crap will be forgotten. All this stuff of, man, you remember back in the day when they were leaking a tiny little piece of information no one give a shit about, and all it does is piss us off? Eh, whatever. That movie was awesome.
See, I don't think so, though. With the amount of build-up and sell they're trying to do for this, it's kind of burning your ad dollars. We're going to walk in there. We're going to know most of the movie before you walk in. And unless that thing pulls out something absolutely unheard of, I'm going to come out of their best-case scenario and go, you know what? I didn't mind that. Like, I'm going to walk into Guardians knowing very fucking little outside of what I know about the characters and what little they've shown me in preview. That's it. I fully suspect I'm going to have fun, but I suspect that based on the fact that I do like Guardians. But if I had this kind of hype train for Guardians, I'd be bored with it by now. I'd probably skip it.
And it's, like, and it's every only time coming I hear people tell me about
Avengers and Age of Ultron, beyond wanting to punch a baby because I fucking hate Ultron as an Avengers villain, I would like Kang, please, but no. I am at the point now where I'm like, I'm probably just not going to bother seeing it because I don't care.
Hey, when they drop a teaser trailer, this is all going to start all over again, and everyone's going to get all excited for it.
It's going to be just another Star Wars Force Unleashed. Ooh, big awesome force powers. Ooh, check this out. It's like, and it just turns out to be a disappointing game. You know, it's...
Hey, you're talking about them. That's all they want right now.
Yeah, but the problem is they're not letting the product sell itself.
Did you hear about that thing we're making? Have you heard about that thing we're making? Were you paying attention? We're making a thing.
Well, they suddenly realize, hey, this plan we've got is going to be up against the next Avengers movie and the next Star Wars movie, and Disney's going to kick our ass 6 weeks from Sunday. We got to dial it back. But we already announced it, so now we got to stretch this out as best we can.
I think going quiet on it for a while would be something.
How about you put emphasis on doing a goddamn product first?
They want so bad to be Star Wars. They want so bad to, you know, have that kind of hype. If I've heard crazy rumors that on May the 4th be with you, they're going to release a very, 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 very short teaser trailer for the next Star Wars movie, which may just be a shot of Mark Hamill in a Jedi robe. The internet will go fucking bananas if that happens. And they want that for the same way. It's one day, you know, and I can see in like, you know, maybe 6 months to a year's time, they release just an image of Ben Affleck wearing the hood. You don't see the whole suit, you just see the hood. They want the internet to explode. Will it? Maybe. Oh,
now that you've mentioned Ben Affleck, shut the fuck up. Dear internet, shut the fuck up. Jiggly was 12 years ago. You know what he did in between that? Everything awesome. He played Superman, the best I've ever seen. Fuck off. Like, you guys saw Hollywood Land? That was an amazing movie.
He's never been a bad actor. Jiggly was a bad fucking movie. Period. I'm fine with him in this role.
There is no such thing as an actor who has never made a bad movie. Even some of the best actors we all love, you can find a crap movie. It just, in Ben Affleck's case...
Brando,
I'm sure we can find one if we look hard enough.
Look at
Dr. Monroe?
No, that was
fantastic. Brando was fantastic.
I was going to say, really? You're going to say that's fantastic?
I am going to say Brando was fantastic. Because I am not dumb enough to say bad things about Marlon Brando because I think he'll try and kill me.
He'll find you. He will find you.
I know he will.
The thing is Marvel... will let their product sell itself. They'll show the trailers, they'll do brief mentions about the production, and then they'll let it go. They'll let it circulate. It's just every other day we're hearing news about some other character from the expanded DC universe that really doesn't need mention in a movie that was pitched as Batman and Superman.
Hey, like I said, they want to keep you talking.
I was hyped, but now it's turned into annoyance.
But they've got to draw it out, like I said. The original plan was, okay, we're going to release it in 2 years, and then they kind of looked around and saw all the movies that are coming out in 2 years' time, like, ooh, this is bad. Dial it back. But they've already let the cat out of the bag. They've already said, we're making a Superman-Batman movie. And then they realized, we have to dial it back by not a few months, a full year. But they've already done the damage. They've already let the cat out of the bag. Everyone already knows. So now they've got to drag it on a little bit more. Once production actually gets going, you know, people will start, you know, it's like the same thing when they made the Spider-Man movie. Someone takes a picture of, you know, them filming across the way. You don't know what it is, but they see part of it. And their job is done for them. They don't have to do squat.
It's just, it's oversaturated.
When the movie starts getting made, besides that stupid football scene they already did, you'll see people taking pictures, and you know, their job will be done for them. Someone will post a YouTube video of it. Someone will post a picture online. So, yeah, people are talking about it. But in the meantime, they've got to do this job. They've got to keep the hype train rolling.
Yeah, but the thing is they're blowing their load too early.
Oh, they did, but it's already done. They can't undo it. Like I said, if they could do it over again, they wouldn't have announced it at that Comic-Con. They'd announce it this coming year's Comic-Con. Too late. Damage done.
It seems more and more, like, the more and more they try to push this, the more and more they're seeming like that class idiot who's trying to make them look like themselves look like the popular kid. They're too much of a rush to catch up, and they're still a year out from their movie, and they don't even have a teaser.
No.
Hey, I'm going to say it now. Hey. Arrow is better than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's a shame they don't want to look at Arrow as something to build off of.
Yeah, I still want to see Harley Quinn in that. I'm just saying.
Give it enough time.
The fact that Tara Strong made a voice cameo was not enough for me, damn it.
Give it time. Give it time.
No. I
wouldn't even mind if Tara Strong just put on the outfit and just, you know, acted like, because she doesn't look that far different from Harley Quinn. We give her some crazy-ass makeup, wouldn't be bad. Now,
she barely puts on that outfit about once a month, man.
You do that as the cold opener for the Batman-Superman movie. You do that as Batman's introduction that, there's a big party going on. Oh, where's Bruce Wayne? He'll be back. He'll be here in a moment. He's running late. And then you have Batman chasing Harley across the rooftops, you know, and have her. Hell, she's good enough actress to do it. You know, just do that as their cold open. Bam, you're set.
No, that'd be a great trailer.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we're giving lots of great ideas to DC. DC is not known for taking great ideas. If they didn't come up with it, they're not interested.
Yeah.
Or let me take that back. DC is okay with that sometimes. Warner Brothers is a whole nother ballgame.
Running the doomsday scenario, you know, the doomsday plot on a Smallville budget.
Anything they did on Smallville's budget.
Kneel before Zod. Anyway.
Yeah, I think we've stressed it enough.
Yeah, we're kind of beating a dead horse at this point.
Yeah, well.
That poor horse.
Warner Brothers is beating that horse.
Well, Warner Brothers are the ones who shot the horse. They didn't have the kindness to shoot it in the head.
Yeah. They shot it in its legs, and now it's suffering horribly.
My hopes are for the upcoming comic book movies is Marvel keeps doing what they're doing because it's the plan that works. This build-up, you know, have all these other side characters.
And DC gets their act shit together.
Fox, you know, do a good send-off to Wolverine with Days of Future Past. If they do their standalone stuff for, like, Storm and Deadpool, please don't let it be the Deadpool from Wolverine. I'm sorry,
no,
you don't.
Ryan Reynolds.
No. Ryan Reynolds is allowed to play Wade Wilson and proper Deadpool. I have no issue with that, but that's
not,
it.
You do not take the Merc with a mouth and stitch it shut.
For long. That could be...
Wade would cut it open.
That's like an interesting startup. Like, he opens the comic stitched shut because he's been kidnapped by Hydra and they're being jerks to him. But by, you know, page 12, he's talking again twice as fast to make up for lost time.
Well, yeah, just have him chew through the strings or something.
Oh, no, I fully imagine him, like, using a sword with his feet to cut it open, losing half his jaw in the process.
Yeah.
Grabs a knife, slice, whoops, that'll grow back.
No Baraka pool.
See, now I want a Deadpool movie with, you know, good horror effects. Give me half of a face.
Well,
give me part of an arm.
Is the Deadpool movie still in the hands of the Zombieland guys, or have they changed that again?
I have not heard anything other than the fact that they were planning on doing one.
Hey, can I just ask for a Deadpool movie where he never takes the mask off and the whole thing is done by Nolan North?
Also acceptable.
Yes.
Because Nolan North's Deadpool is fucking amazing. And I wouldn't mind, let's just get some, you know, tall, somewhat muscular guy to be Deadpool. He never takes the mask off. He never even moves his jaw, yet Nolan North's voice still comes out.
Hell, you know what? Tie it into Days of Future Past. Have Cable show up for reasons.
No.
Well, actually, they're
even
doing Age of
Dead and didn't knock up Jean.
No.
They're actually doing Age of Apocalypse soonish, so they can have Cable there somehow.
That's true.
And time travel can excuse a lot of things involving babies.
The X-Men?
Yeah, considering the X-Mutant Registration Act is coming into effect in 1999, yet apparently in 1976 we're going to have Magneto ripping up a baseball stadium.
I want an explanation for how the Berlin Wall still remained up in this universe. Because seriously, politics at the time wouldn't let that happen.
Yeah. There's a... I always wanted someone to try and actually map out the X-Men... Just ignore everything else. The X-Men storyline with all the time travel nonsense and a straight cohesive timeline.
It doesn't work.
I know. I mean, you'd have like lines going everywhere. It'd make you sick.
Yeah. Well, that's why we have the Marvel multiverse. They make up for that.
Yeah, multiverse, weird shit happens in other universes. Mainly because the X-Men made all sorts of multiverses.
Well, the X-Men aren't supposed to be perceivable by electronic devices as of a thing they interacted with in the Siege Perilous in the 80s. Because the world is supposed to think they're dead. Completely. And Marvel editors don't read anything older than, you know, the current newspaper. So they have no idea what happened back then.
Yeah, well.
Oh, I'm reading the Deadpool stuff where they're dealing with the Siege storyline where, you know... Henry Osborn is trying to shut down the X-Men. And, you know, hey, how many times has it been revealed that he's been the Green Goblin? Too many to count, so nobody cares anymore.
Yes, but he was dead and in Europe, so clearly he's not the Green Goblin anymore.
Also, he has amnesia, again.
Yep. And as we all know, in the Marvel Universe, nobody has ever possessed, possessed, controlled, or lying. So we have no reason to use the plethora of telepaths and magical abilities to determine if the person is in fact telling us some sort of falsehood. That's the reason Otto could be Spider-Man for so long.
Yeah. That...
There's a reason why I avoid...
I don't want to talk about that right now. I do not want to talk about that right now.
We're barely ready to talk...
No.
Jim?
I will get on a rant. You will not be able to stop me. I will lose my mind.
We're barely ready to talk about one more day.
I avoid the mainstream stuff like the main X-Men line and the main Spider-Man line.
That's why I haven't paid for a comic book in almost 5 years.
You should start paying for East of West. It's pretty damn awesome.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm buying Deadpool. I'm catching up on Runaways. I'm reading the newest stuff for Guardians and Nova. You know, not exactly A-listers, but
yeah,
damn, still good.
I think that's a show.
I think that's a show.
So, yeah. I think we're green. We've had a lot of horrible things to say about a lot of horrible people.
That's the podcast for you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Good night, everybody.
I thought they smelled bad on the outside.
I Thought They Smelled Bad on the Outside is released under an attribution, non-commercial, share-alike 3.0 International Creative Commons license. Please visit our website at sbopodcast.blogspot.com for more episodes as well as social media information. Thank you.